You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
Somebody opened and closed the drawer.
That was me. I'm guilty. But I didn't open my own drawers, just on the stand here. That was all.
We're talking about drawers? We're going to be pulling them down those drawers?
No, I said I didn't open that drawer, those drawers.
Oh, I thought we were talking about pulling down drawers. Okay.
Yeah, well, as soon as you see Kitty Hawk's latest art, you might.
Moving on. Welcome to another edition of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, part of the Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Dear Lord, I'm Fess from archercomic.com, and with me we have Mark Savory of autumnlake.com, and what new website?
dreamingofutopia.com. Hello there. Hi.
Hi. Hello. We don't have Kelly this week, but we do have a panel of guests. We've had all of them on the show before, particularly talking about a little old project called The Cross Overlord, which had bore after the largest webcomic crossover event in history to date called The Crossover Wars. We'll go into more of that in just a bit. Let me introduce, we have Kitty Hawk with from Sparkling Generation Valkyrie Yuki at SGVY.com. Welcome back to the show. Of course you would get disconnected at that point.
Oh, and you memorized all that stuff, too. I can do it all over.
We have TV's Mr. Neil from Dacien.
Crossover Lord and Crossover Kill.
I still got it wrong. Oh, damn it.
Fess. Fired.
Damn son of a bitch.
Damn you, Fess.
Welcome to the show. Please be welcomed. I guess he's not welcomed. All right. And Ben Carver from Point Guardian, a Hero Academy, and of course, Crossover Kill. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And, of course, Ben and Neil are also, they also run a podcast. It's something about animation and, like, they know what they're talking about. What is it? Animation?
Aficionados. Aficionados is actually Italian for someone who enjoys something but is not an expert.
Oh, really? Okay. That is, oh, man. Well, we'll keep trying to get Kitty Hawk back as we move ahead. But, yeah, you can check them out on animationaficionados.com for, I don't know, quite a lot of discussions on animations that they love. And if you disagree with them, you could be a guest on their show. Guys, you got to update your bump. Seriously.
Yeah.
We'll start with Cross Overlord. We had them on the show before. We had a whole episode about it before. And so if you haven't heard that, I'd recommend you actually go listen to that first. But what they had done recently is done a retrospective. So whose idea was it to do a retrospective for this comic that ended, 2 years ago?
It was over 2 years ago, and it was, I'd say it was 75% Neil and about 10% me and 15% perspiration.
Yeah, it kind of came together pretty quickly. I mean, before we even knew what was going on, we were inviting people to come on the show. And we got Al and Remus really quick, and Abby jumped on board, and like a couple days later we were recording it, and it was like, wow, you know, we just kind of threw it together so quickly.
It's what Blues Brothers 2000 should have been. We actually did get the old gang back together.
Let's see here. We have, I was talking to Lewis. Actually, he's local, and I see him every once in a while at a movie night. And I was like, yeah, I heard about this thing. And it's like, yeah, and he basically told me a lot of what you guys already went through the retrospective. You know, he was there really much in the beginning and then just got busy. And he's like, you know, you guys totally deserve, you know, incredible kudos for pulling that whole project through. So, and yeah, one thing that you were talking about in the retrospective, it was maybe like a 30 page sort of idea that turned into a well over 100 pages.
Yeah, we kind of, I don't think he realized what he was getting himself into. We talked about this on the retrospective. Mm-hmm. He thought that by bringing Al and I in, that we were just going to do this kind of, you know, fun little crossover event. It's going to be, you know, maybe run a month or two. And it ended up running 2 years. And a lot of it was because Al and I just kept writing these scenes. And a lot of them were, didn't really have much to do with the story. It was just all character development, which, you know, it's just what I do. I couldn't help myself. Half the time I'd be like pitching scenes in the middle of scenes, like, okay, we have to have a diversion here. We have to have characters eating. That was my, I must have pitched that like three times. I'm like, there's got to be an eating scene.
Well, it's also, we kept on getting, you know, it wasn't quite, you know, we did get some later additions and lots of scrambling happened early on. Even early contributors like Remus didn't know about the whole Pillars of Faith thing at the beginning, which is hilarious to me. It's a, for those of you that listened to the retrospective, yes, our characters almost ran around with Elijah Dushku, and we put a stop to that early on.
Well, when you say we, you weren't there yet.
That's true. I was not there yet. I came in half at the halfway mark. I am sorry. You are right.
I was the one who put the brakes on that. I'm like, I like William, but I got to put a stop to this because I'm not going to have the character Faith from Buffy the Vampire Slayer in our comic. Because the whole point of Crossover Lord was to pitch a crossover between five or six original characters. And, you know, there's Faith from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. What the hell is she doing here? And later she got swapped out for the Green Avenger, which I was I appreciated much more.
Yes, and Abby was an awesome contributor. It's
yeah, Abby's actually unless she moved, she actually was from the same city I'm from as well. So I've met her a few times, and I think she also had the same problem as Neil had, is updating their own comic. Neil.
Hey, I just uploaded a 25-page buffer this morning, so that'll be starting March 24th, and we'll see how long that lasts. But new comics coming.
Yay.
It's awesome.
The trick is to keep doing them. Of course, I shouldn't talk since my PSI comic hasn't updated for... Yeah, I faced is, I simply don't have the time for my hobby comic, and I don't want to be one of those people that just leaves all the readers that were there hanging indefinitely. So I finally typed up, all right, from here to the end, quote unquote, this is basically what's going to happen. If you want to see it, it's a password protected page. So if you want to see it, you can at least get that while I figure out what I want to do, because I'm a reader too. I know what happens. You know, that's why, like, Neil's comic isn't in any of my bookmarks anymore. I just don't check it, you know, and that just happens. So,
well, the weird thing about Dacine is that everyone keeps her alive because I keep getting requests for crossovers. It's like, can we use her in Crossover Kill? I'm like, okay. Like, she's coming back to Crossover Kill in like a month.
Well, sweet. The biggest reason why is Dacian is a very interesting character. It's a loudmouth, energetic girl that just that
and that hair, that awesome hair.
Yes,
I love that hair. It's fun to draw.
It's basically every girl I know just wrapped into one person.
I'm sorry.
Dead silence.
Yeah. Well, no, you said it. She's pretty awesome, though.
Well, yeah. Let's see here.
All the women I know in real life, they wouldn't combine to make that. No.
Hey, you know Tanya, Mark. Women, so. You know Tanya. You've met
Tanya.
Well,
that's true.
Yes.
I know Tanya.
She obliterates
she
all the
wild
other
hair like that, though.
Well, okay, no, she doesn't have wild hair like that, no.
Maybe if she wore a wig or something, she might.
All right. So when looking at Crossover Lord, It was it has been a while. Can we clarify if this was indeed sort of bore out of the crossover wars, or was this just is it just remotely sort of connected or not at all connected? Like, what is there a connection or not?
There is a little bit, because Al Schroeder attempted to make a bridge. There's actually a chapter in Mind Mistress that connects the two stories. The Smiling Man had an agent in the crossover wars who turned out to be Pink Flash from Ant. Yeah, so that was the connection. As far as motivation and plots go, there's really no connection between the evil overlords and the Smiling Man. So you don't have to read one to read the other. So you don't have to track down all the pages of the crossover wars to understand Crossover Lord. And thank God for that, because the archive for the crossover wars is all over the place.
Right. And that is one thing I tried to do when I redid my PSI website, since I had crossed over so much. When I redid it, like on WordPress, like a final time, I actually got permission to, I think I got permission, I should have got permission to actually post their comics within my archive to make it make sense. But of course, when you have a comic like Crossover Lord and Crossover Kill, it is the comic is itself. You don't have too much or any outside crossovers with either of the comics of the characters that are a part of it, right?
Right.
Okay.
I was trying to think of any, and I'm like, no, I really don't know of any. Aside from what Al Schroeder does. Al Schroeder is always doing like cameos.
Yeah, so. It's most right. Most of the time I was so busy with Point Guardian, I never had time to do cameos or internal crossovers in Point Guardian. I just had very little interest in doing that, because I was too busy outputting an insane page output back then. That's and like I said, it just never got to the point where I could call a guy up and say, hey, I want to use your character for one page or anything like that. I did try something at the end of Point Guardian, where I tried to contact the creators like Neil and Al and others, saying, hey, I had this idea. You write one issue, one month's worth of comics based off of your favorite character from my universe, and I will do a one issue, one shot of, I'll draw it and everything. And that sort of fell apart too.
There was, there's sometimes a contention on, cause you're talking about like one page or something like that. And to me,
one issue, 22 pages.
No, I'm talking about like when you were like, you know, if you were going to ask somebody just for like a one page thing or something like that, it's for me, a cameo doesn't necessitate a crossover. Crossover is where it's canon to both or all parties doing the crossover, because it's a crossover versus just a cameo. Just kind of happens, and it may or may not have actually happened in the other property.
Well, we actually kind of covered that in Crossover Lord, because as it turned out, there are characters in some webcomics that are fictional and others. So we kind of made up this kind of half-assed excuse, you know, like the whole doppelganger thing. Sometimes, you know, characters are different individuals in other universes, and sometimes they're just thought up by people and they become fictional. And so that's kind of how we got around it. If there's like two different crossovers that kind of contradict each other, hey, they must be like doppelgangers. They're not actual. The two of them aren't really canonical with each other, but there's an explanation built in.
Well, when you look at say Short Pact and Multiplex, they've had sort of crossovers. They both say that, because it's like basically they're both in cities that are not next to each other. They're not the same city, but they're sort of alt universes of each other. It's like, so in Short Pact, there's a alt universe Multiplex, and in Multiplex is an alt universe Short Pact.
Sort of like how in Futurama, The Simpsons is a show, and in The Simpsons, Futurama is a show.
I know people that would contend that. I know some people that would contend that because of certain scenes that were potentially throwaways. I think it also depends whether or not how you accept the Halloween episodes of Simpsons being actual canon or not.
Yeah, oh, well, you are fucking kidding me if you're going into that argument.
Oh, come on. You can go into the extended universe into Bongo Comics, and then they do meet up in the comic series.
I'm sorry, Kitty Hawk, but there's only one answer to extended universe.
What?
Neil knows the answer.
Yeah, but...
what's the answer?
We're going to have to explain it. There's a... What is it? A cracked.com video where somebody yes. brings up the Star Wars extended universe, and the other guy just slaps him in the face.
Yeah, but the extended universe.
Yeah.
Oh, but here's it's not like, you know, I wrote my own Star Wars story. This is actually within the same, like, you know, content holders and all that. So I think they are in the same universe. But anyway.
Well, okay, like to quote, you know, Mr. Plinkett, fuck that shit.
No.
No, but it's like, I totally agree that, like, quote unquote extended universe, when you have things that are outside the medium that basically take off a life of its own.
Yeah, things are what, Fess?
It's what? what'd you say?
It's a recursive occlusion. It's making my brain hurt. It's all Max Escher.
Well, it's like to a point you could maybe have like supplemental material, but when you have like say Star Wars, where you got like the book series of everything, it's like I would almost say that the book series could almost have to be an entirely like an alt universe of Star Wars.
Yeah,
because it's not like you had like some sort of like compilation book, like some sort of supplement. I had bought the Hyrule Historia for Legend of Zelda.
Oh, dear Lord, no. No.
There is no Zelda timeline.
Now,
after Link's Awakening.
I'm just saying, I haven't actually read it yet, but I'm saying it's like, if that's like canon sort of thing, and it's just like a simple supplemental material to like the actual stuff, you know, it could have some merit in that. But once you start going super like expanded, like Star Wars, it's like you can't expect everybody to... I don't know. It's asking a little bit too much, I would say.
I would disagree. I would say Star Wars is I would say that's actually universe, whereas I would say with Legend of Zelda, they kind of tried to shoehorn it in, because I remember I had the Link to the Past and the Link's Awakening strategy guides, and they tried to make a timeline out of Zelda even back then, and it just was like, it was a Versus? Stretch.
Well, those Versus are the only two games that are really connected, because...
Yeah,
In Link's Awakening, he actually is having nightmares of bosses from the game.
Yeah, but like what I'm saying is like in the Link to the Past one, they tried to tie in Legend of Zelda and Zelda 2 into the Link to the Past timeline, and
which is total.
They had it was like total stretch. But I was like, you know, I'm like 12. I'm like,
But with Link and Zelda, it's not the same Link and Zelda each game, though.
Which means that
the idea is they try to say it's the same universe. In the last official timeline, and I say official with quotes, is first the Skyward Sword. Next is
the whole thing with the timeline is that it was something that the U.S. box art had on the back, and that's where it came from. I mean, the original two games, they aren't even coherent with each other. There's actually a second Zelda in Zelda 2. It's the original Zelda who you know was cursed with a sleeping spell and you have to wake her up, but she's not the original. She's not the Zelda from the first game. It's like, what? You know, it's the most nonsensical thing I've ever heard. If you are going to make a Zelda timeline, at least decanonize the first two games. The first two games are just nonsense.
So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to see what exactly is our Link to the Past.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network. Follow us on Twitter at WebcomicBeacon. Email us at WebcomicBeacon@gmail.com. Or leave us a voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. Love the show? Please grab the iTunes or RSS feed. We are also on Stitcher.com with Stitcher Smart Radio, an on-demand service where you can stitch podcast and radio show feeds together for your own personal streaming service. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity in the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic books, news, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
No!
Okay, I'm gonna
whip out my ocarina and start playing the song of sleep to make Ben stop doing that.
Well, okay, Neil, I'm gonna stop. It's
well, you can. I mean, Ocarina of Time, what is it? Ocarina.
There
of
is
time.
No Zelda timeline.
Majora's Mask.
Majora's Mask. And
here's
Wind Waker.
The timeline. It splits into three. That's not a timeline.
Yeah, the Hero of Time succeeds, it goes here. If it fails, it goes here. It's not a timeline anymore.
No. Don't you see? When Biff went back to 1955, he skewed the timeline into an alternate.
About Back to the Future. Back to the Future has one timeline which follows Marty. That's the timeline. That is not analogous to the Zelda timeline.
That's why the future was different when Biff went back to 1955.
It actually has an alternate timeline. But what's strange is that the Marty from timeline one, who we start with, crosses over into this other timeline, and that Marty winds up back at the Twin Pines Mall, which is very strange. But anyway.
Yeah, but the timeline that the movie follows is just following Marty. I mean, it's not like an actual splitting timeline where you actually wind up in different movies that have different canons.
Yeah. No, also, you couldn't do that.
But that's not – the universe doesn't revolve around a single person, though.
Actually, technically, Neil, Zemeckis said that the 1985 B is actually The Watchmen 1985.
What?
Because he threw in a newspaper that said Richard Nixon getting fourth re-election.
They said
this is totally in the Watchmen timeline. I think Zemeckis was joking, but he did say it in the commentary.
You know what?
Now it is.
You know what? We already talked about time travel on the Webcomic Beacon. If you go back to Webcomic Beacon episode number 124, time travel.
back in time to that episode.
We'll continue our discussion back in episode 124. So moving on to Crossover Lord. Back to multiverses. I want to talk to multiverses a little bit. You might have mentioned this, but I might have got lost in the recent discussion. Does Crossover Lord is it canon? Which is it canon with any of the characters in it?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
The events happened for those characters, but it didn't happen in their universe. It's much like the Marty theory Neil was saying. The timeline of the character is what's important, not like the timeline of Ringo's dimension or Rune Death's dimension or whatever.
Okay. So Crossover Lord is, you know, I mean, like, considering dimensional jumps, you know, so to speak, between all the different webcomics or whatever, I consider them different dimensions or whatnot. So Crossover Lord is a place, and it's a thing that's happened to these characters. Is what you're saying?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say so.
So it is canon.
Yes.
All right. Crossover Kill, I'm also going to assume, is also directly canon as well to Crossover Lord.
That is correct.
Yes, okay. Absolutely. It's the events happen to the characters. I don't know if anyone's going to reference the events directly in their own works. I know Al does that. And the characters I have that were in both, their comics were already ended, so there was no reference for me to make. I probably would have if they were continuing. And I'm not sure if Kitty Hawk will make any reference of Yuki being in Crossover Kill.
I've actually thought about doing it, but I've always thought of the Yuki in Crossover Lord and Crossover Kill as a more mature Yuki, because that's how I've always seen how Neil and them write her. Yeah, it's like a more...
So in the future.
Yeah. So yeah, a little bit in the future when Yuki's gotten a little bit more into it. So yeah, maybe I will make a ref. I definitely was planning on making a reference, but this is a more like the Superman to the Superboy that I'm writing right now.
It will it would also throw off the pacing of where your story is now.
Well, yeah.
Like, gee, you remember that? Oh, yes.
But right. I know exactly the point at which I could do it. So, yeah.
Excellent.
Yes.
Yeah, I try to keep my comics self-contained, but I do count it as canon anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be references in the future, but at the present moment, I have no plan to do so. I have no reason to.
Yes, I'm trying to find a file of mine, and I'm going to share it in the show notes so you guys can take a look at it. I have, from the crossover wars, I've actually put together a sort of multiverse diagram as far as PSI is concerned. And with that is also a basic link to Crossover Lord and Crossover Kill and Mind Mistress, more or less, with the connections of this. And even with just seeing this, it gives you sort of how complex it is, even from just looking at Evil Overlords United and Cameo Comic and just one comic being PSI, which how many different crossovers or crossover/alt-universe crossovers it was. And I can only imagine trying to put one of these things together for Crossover Lord. But honestly, it's really fun and nerdy for me to try to figure these things out. And one of the things that was brought up, I'm not sure if it was actually brought up in Mind Mistress itself or Crossover Lord or Crossover Kill, but the idea of the first verse. Do you guys remember that at all?
Vaguely, yeah.
Vaguely.
Wow.
It was it's one of those moments that becomes dangerous in a crossover event for me, where it's, okay, you guys know the really stupid theory about all TV or network TV is connected.
Yeah, the Tommy Westphal universe where all primetime television happens in an autistic kid's brain.
Yeah.
But here's where my argument comes from. Just because they show up doesn't mean it's a crossover. That just because they show up, that's a cameo. That doesn't necessarily make it a canon occurrence in each property. And that's the thing for this is like, if I say I'm a direct crossover or there's a crossover ability between PSI and Mind Mistress, does that mean I have to accept everything about what happens in Mind Mistress about the multiverse jumble? Does first verse exist in my comic as well? I haven't decided yet, but it's I don't know. Perhaps it's just me being neurotic about stuff and things that don't really matter. But I know as a fan of stuff, I could get agitated about certain things like that. It's probably easier with different dimensions, as in like web comics. But when you try to do crossovers, as in saying that they exist in the same world, that's where things can really get dicey. So it's probably a good thing that the Crossover Lord and Crossover Kill happen in basically an alt dimension or something. Or however it's set up, because I'm sure it doesn't take place. Okay, fine. You tell me, where does Crossover Lord and Crossover Kill take place? Does it take place in anybody's webcomic specifically?
It actually crosses from reality to reality. So part of it actually takes place. Part of Crossover Kill actually takes place in Magellan's world. Part of it takes place in Ben's world.
Mm-hmm. Yes, actually, a lot of the thing was for a good portion of the Crossover Kill, they were in the Knight's bunker, and actually a lot of the interaction stuff, the stuff that Neil likes with people eating and hanging out and shower scenes, all that was in my universe. that Kitty Hawk drew.
Yay! I'll draw more.
During the Crossover Wars, I did a Jenny Everywhere comic called Jenny Everywhere and the Crossing Over Worlds. And one of my big things for that comic was that it wasn't a comic because everywhere that Jenny was, she was technically in somebody else's comic. And one of the things I had where she became like fourth wall aware and everything is that she realized she basically doesn't have a home. And so that's one of the things. So I really like Jenny Everywhere because you can do a whole lot of things with her. And that was the sort of thing. So everything that happened did happen in somebody else's comic. So I'm just a big nerd about crossovers and such, and I know not everybody is, but it's like these are things I love about that.
Well, you talk about whether or not you want to accept certain things as canon. We kind of made Jenny Everywhere the herald of the crossover seer Ringo.
Yeah, I did notice that Jenny Everywhere was popping up, and her design actually kind of changed a little bit between artists.
Yeah,
well, that's what happens with every artist. Every artist adds their own spin. There's no hard character sheet.
And that's what I love. That's what I love about this series is that I get to see like the characters drawn in different ways. Especially Yuki, it was just interesting to see, like in Crossover Lord, you got to see really only like I think a couple of times, but
mostly.
But
Neil.
Like in Crossover Kill, it was really it's really awesome to see Yuki in different styles.
Oh yeah, certainly different styles is one thing.
Well, the ribbons change length, which I kind of think is kind of cool. Like and, you know.
And one of the pages that, Eisaku, my friend who tragically passed away last year, he drew several pages on Crossover Kill, and he drew one where Yuki's skirt was red, and that was a mistake. But Kitty Hawk loved that.
I thought it was really cool. I was like, I never thought to make the skirt red, but that actually looks really good.
And Dan, I love Dan's art, but every time Dan draws Yuki, Yuki is nipping out.
I know. Well,
she's got
awesome.
A little bit of nipple in the page that I just drew. You have to really squint to see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm Dan's. It's like torpedo press. I'm like,
You have to squint to see Neil drawing the nipples, but with Dan's, it can put your eye out.
She can cut glass with those.
Yes. That's probably a superpower she hadn't
that
explored.
That is a new power, yes.
And let's clear up one thing right now. It's We've been using she for Yuki over and over again, and it's supposed to be he, right, Kitty Hawk?
Well, it's he in the main storyline. I don't really – with the pronoun, I say he, but like I've told other people, it's not a big deal.
What does Valkyrie Yuki self-identify as?
As male. That's right. How he thinks of himself.
There we go. So
yeah, I admit that I refer to when like Yuki's used for like advertisement or something, I'll use the feminine pronoun just because I think of that as well. That Yuki,
it's easier than trying to explain it.
Yeah, it's like that Yuki's happy because that Yuki is not currently over here. Being tormented by gods.
So. Yeah, it's kind of like how Misfile, you'll see Misfile have advertisements here and there, and it'll bring up what the sort of plot is, not kind of, sort of, with some of the dialogue that's within the ads. And then sometimes it's cheesecake, and it's not brought up, because that might confuse some people too much. But, you know, so let's, Mark, do you want to get in here at all?
A what?
Do you want to get in here at all?
You're doing good. I'm right here.
All right. So let's cross over to Crossover Kill. And
the other side.
The other side. Break on through to the other side.
That's what we use in all the promo stuff. is exactly what we use.
So,
all right, Neil.
So give us the primer. Give us the primer for Crossover Kill. Why does it exist? How does it exist?
It exists because Al had an idea of let's do another crossover called Crossover Kill, and it's going to be about death in the deaths of all the universes being abducted. And what happened was Al asked Kitty Hawk if she could maybe not contribute as much as the other contributors, but at the very least contribute Yuki to the project. Yep. And Kitty Hawk graciously said yes. And what happened was we got some scripts going, and I said, hey, my friend Eisaku, he wants to draw the first cover. And that first cover awesome. Was magic. That first cover.
That cover is awesome. I love that cover. I was looking at that last night. Yeah, they came to me and they said, you want to use Yuki in Crossover Kill? And I was like, yeah. And then they asked me to do, I don't know if we were going to talk about this quite yet, but the character sheet. For Hell because of the plot that is in Crossover Kill with the gathering of the deaths and all, and I had actually planned on Hell being in the series anyway, but I hadn't actually whipped up a character design yet. And they're like, do you want to? And I'm like, yeah, okay, sure. Yeah, I'll do that. And then I actually, that was really cool. Neil actually used my illustration in the comic, which I was like, oh, that's so awesome. Cause you see Neil's art and there's my art right there. And it's just so cool. I mean, and I've been very happy with the whole thing so far. Like, the art's been really good, and I love the handling of Yuki. You were going to say something, Neil?
Yeah, I was going to say, I was trying very hard those first four pages to impersonate Kitty Hawk's drawing, and the first page looks the best, and it kind of goes downhill after that. I did not do as good a job as I did impersonating Ida.
Well, I love the latest page you did with Yuki, where, Yuki's got the
Valkyrie smash. Yes.
Yeah, Valkyrie smash. Oh, and yeah, the underboob. That was a really fun page. That was, and my fans certainly enjoyed that too. They're like, Valkyrie smash, yay! So that was pretty good. So I've enjoyed the project so far, and I really like, and I actually enjoy that they asked me to do the cheesecake pages in the shower. Yes.
Which there is, as Kitty Hawk always draws pages, there's an unreleased version of that as well.
There's an uncensored page 2 on my blog, which is at montrose.is/sketching.
Link?
Montrose
is sketching.
I meant to the specific page. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway, I can get that then. You asked for it, I will deliver. But yes,
it's that
I actually
easy.
Started drawing it, and I was actually drawing it uncensored. And then I realized, this is not supposed to be,
not that kind of comic.
Add steam and suds.
But actually, all the contributors, even the people who own the characters in the shower, they're like, "Oh, I want to see that."
Now I need a link to the crossover kill one too. Anyway, I remember it, but okay. So we got the crossover kill deaths are going to be not killing deaths, but
I believe the plot is
deaths.
That the president of the United States in one reality. He's the only being that still exists, and he basically contacted all of his doppelgangers. Here's the doppelganger thing coming in again, and what they're doing is they're gathering all the deaths to basically summon the death in his world so that he can be immortal. I believe that's the plot. So,
yeah. What do you mean? You believe that's the who's running said, this train?
I'm not a key writer, and I was actually gone for like a month or two. So, I there were some details that I sort of missed, but I'm trying to get caught up as we speak.
Stuff happened.
Yeah, yeah. Plus I'm doing a podcast, and my attention's divided these days. You know how it is.
Yeah, and. But overall, the whole of Crossover Kill is basically where Mind Mistress is the recruiter this time. There is no the recruiter isn't
Ringo.
Isn't Ringo. It's Mind Mistress is the recruiter. She contacts everybody. She contacts the Knight this time versus Ultra, and they decide the best, safest place to shore up for the time being was go into the Knight's bunker. And they go there, and there's lots of funny pages where they eat dinner. They they take a shower. There's a sparring match that I insisted on, where the Knight and Captain Perfect fight. And what I love about Captain Perfect is Dan writes him to be an arrogant ass,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that's intentional. Neil?
You think?
I would assume so. The guy calls himself Captain Perfect. That's just crying to be lampooned.
That is true. And the whole idea of worlds without death, I mean, it sort of glossed over a little bit. I remember it was way late in the game. I probably should have suggested this way sooner, but I said, hey, can we do something like, can we have one universe versus like Soldier Jack? and no one knew what that was.
No.
Well, I knew what it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone's like, that's a great idea, but it's too late.
Aww. I did like the world that that they went to where no one was dying and they were being eaten alive by insects. That was pretty creepy awesome.
Yeah, but for the story of the soldier and death, it was retold multiple times. It was even Jim Henson did a version of it, where basically a soldier has a sack and he puts death in the sack and no one's dying anymore. The soldier in his sack. It's great. It's on Netflix. Jim Henson's The Storyteller season one. Check it out.
Oh yeah. I haven't actually seen that since haven't seen that since that aired. That was a long.
It's a great series.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Brian has a dog.
So who's one of the Ben? Okay, so who are the lead writers of Crossover Kill then?
I would have to say it's mostly Al this time. It's we make suggestions. Al SAB also is one of the lead writers. They like dump a bunch of script pages, and as the creators of our own characters, we get to say, no, my character would never say this. No, this should change completely. Basically, and we also make suggestions, and the suggestions are written like I suggested the sparring match between Captain Perfect and the Majestic Knight. Mm-hmm. And they wrote it, and the original way they wrote it, I didn't like it. So I made a suggestion, and they went with my suggestion, and the fight's a lot funnier this way. Because at first, they were going to have Captain Perfect pull the knight's cape over his head. I'm like, the knight knows he has a cape. He has a way around that already. His cape is detachable. And I said, I think it'd be funnier if Captain Perfect tried to grab the knight's sword from his sword belt. And the knight's sword is booby-trapped to where if anyone who's not wearing his glove grabs a sword, an electrical shock goes through the hilt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. And then Captain Perfect throws the knight at Energize, and that's how the
hilarity
fight
ensues. No, yeah, yeah. So with the major plot point, basically kidnapping, deaths all over the place, are there or have there been or will there be cameos of like deaths from other webcomics? I'm assuming this was part of the plan to basically be kidnapped or at least be cameoed in part.
There has been one of the key ones was oh my god, I can't remember what webcomic it is, but it's the one where Death is kind of a drunk.
Life and Death?
Yeah, that one. Yeah, he's been in it. I know that there was one from Brett Halla. I'm not familiar with that comic. Yeah, I'm not as familiar with that comic as I am with the main comics.
And the bear.
No, Ben.
But we had the bear there, Neil.
Okay. So anyway, I don't have a bear. I have a couple.
No, it's there's a villain in Crossover Kill that's literally a bear.
The bear is awesome.
See, nobody's gonna get this. You're like the bear. No,
isn't it from Bill Holbrook's comic?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The bear is actually one of the doppelgangers. It's just there's this bear hanging out with the bad guys,
and he's like a super scientist.
Well,
Al did an origin story with a whole bunch of cheesy puns in it. There was like I don't remember. Really funny.
Eating the seal of the United States, the president.
Yeah, the guy that they had for what was his role? He was there for the president, but there was something there that said the official seal of the president. I forget how the pun goes.
Yeah, it was something along that. So he eats the seal that's in his way.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just it was. I thought it was hilarious.
Did he club it like, first?
Oh, he wasn't he wasn't making a great deal, so a better deal.
All right. So. So do you guys know, does anybody happen to know of maybe projected how much longer Crossover Kill has?
About a month.
About a month and a half.
So we're getting down there.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So let's see here. So we'll provide a link to both of these comics in there. I should probably ask Fess. Neil, do you have a plan for another one after this?
Fess!
Yes. What?
What?
It's,
hello?
He said link to, and then all of a sudden it cut out.
Oh.
All I heard was you yelling at me.
Cut out for us. You were just...
Yeah, what the hell is wrong with you?
I think Fess was asking me a question.
Well, I was going to ask Neil, do you have a plan for like another crossover event after this happens?
Al is thinking about one, and I don't know if he's going to do it because he actually retired Mind Mistress, but he's thinking about it, and I'm thinking about jumping in. So,
do you know how long these are going to run when you start them?
Hell no.
No, they just
We projected 2 years for Crossover Lord, and we had it pretty much down to the wire. I mean, the comic actually had two endings because Al wanted to finish by April 15th, and then we had an epilogue after that. So we kind of cheated on Crossover Lord, and Crossover Kill, I think, was the same thing. We had 2 years projected, and it's coming about time to end, so...
What would the third? I'm trying to think of what other pun you can make for crossover something.
I believe it was crossover power.
I thought we were gonna do. I thought we were gonna do one where it was like wacky races.
That was a joke.
Oh, you know what? Yeah. You know what? Maybe just a throwaway crossover wacky something might be just really really fun for you guys.
Crossover drive, Neil. That was what.
Yeah.
That would be hilarious. I would read the crap out of that.
Now that we announced it, we have to do it, Neil.
It's locked in.
Come on, you have to do it. You gotta have a Penelope pit stop moment. Yeah.
Oh, you know I'll write that in.
Yay!
I mean, whenever there was like an old cartoon reference or a video game reference or something wacky like that, it was usually me. And there are a lot fewer of those in Crossover Kill, which indicates that I'm not one of the main writers. Oh. But I am the semi-official writer of Yuki in that.
All Yay! Right. And you do a really good job. I really like Yuki. Yuki's awesome in Crossover Kill. You captured his you know, rage and like I said, this is a more mature version of Yuki, so I really enjoy reading it.
I'm just doing my best.
Oh,
all right. So
well, the best Yuki pages, I think everyone agrees, were the ones that Isaku drew.
Oh yeah,
I love Isaku's. Isaku's were just gorgeous. I was actually looking at those last night, and but I mean, I actually enjoy seeing Yuki in everyone's style, like Neil's. I think it's the style that Mind Mistress, is it Al that does the art for Mind Mistress as well?
Yes.
Or okay, yeah. Like, I actually like seeing Yuki in that style, too. I mean, it's really interesting because, like, you know, they do different things with the bows. They do different things with the corset. So I really enjoy it.
So I think we're going to wrap up this conversation. Crossover Kill is going to be ending soon. So we'll be looking to see how that ends and what may come after that. But you can, probably embed the YouTube video, in this particular post so people can check it out and whatnot. And, take a look at the past. Also, I'll link the old, webcomic, Beacon episodes, which we've talked about this and the crossover wars and the link to the, if you are a crossover nut, I got you covered. Basically.
Yay!
Links galore is what we've got for you. And let's see here. Before we go, is there anything that anyone here would like to add as a final note?
DeCN.com, March 24th, be there. That's all I got.
Sparkling Generation, Valkyrie Yuki, SGVY.com, Transgender Magical Girl meets Norse Gods. You'll love it.
That's Kitty Hawk standard.
It's a good thing I went before that because that's a hard one to follow.
Ben,
not really doing any new comics at the moment, but the Hero Academy might be starting again in a few months. I'm still working on getting past the writer's block that happened after after Isaku's passing.
Right. And this was October of last year. Is that right? That it was there was an announcement made on
the
Overkill site, in which she contributed a lot of things, and she was 32, and that's he was 32, and that's young. So take care of yourselves out there. And
it was a chronic problem he had. It's and not to mention the healthcare in Mexico was really not that stellar.
Mm. So there is that. So of course, I wanted to make sure that got mentioned in here as well. So, and so that is going to be it for this episode of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. Once again, I do want to thank our panel of crossoverers. Ben Carver, Kitty Hawk, Neil Purcell, thank you all for coming on to the show.
Thank you.
Crossover achievers.
Yeah, there you go.
I've been Fess of RogerComic.com.
With TV's Fisher Neal.
Kitty Hawk of Sparkling Generation, Valkyrie Yuki, STVY.com.
Ben Carver.
Mark.
And this is Mark of AutumnLake.com and DreamingOfUtopia.com.
Take a nap.
Dreaming of a nap.
No offense to you, Ben. Kinda.
Kinda.
Aw, y'all are cute.
Well, Ben is kinda cute, yes, but it's about who he is.
The vibe in this room is very strange all of a sudden.
It's very strange. Well,
I bring it with me.
Kitty Hawk's having a good time, that's all that matters.
In the land down under.